Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Welcome to Close Up Radio, everybody. Jim Masters here. It's Tuesday, February 15th, 2022, and it is noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, live. A pleasure to have you with us today, and thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate it when you guys are with us from all around the world. Very excited to welcome author Dr. Michelle K. Johnston, live and direct from New Orleans, Louisiana. You know, companies that attract and employ jerk bosses are suffering. Employees are leaving in drones. In November 2021, 4.5 million Americans left their jobs in what has become to be known as the Great Resignation. Dr. Michelle K. Johnston is the author of The Seismic Shift in Leadership, How to Thrive in a New Era of Connection. She says we are in a new era of leadership. Employees want to be seen and heard, valued and appreciated. The Seismic Shift in Leadership compiles Dr. Johnston's experience as an executive coach and business professor with the voices of leaders at organizations both large and small. The book offers leaders concrete strategies to project their authentic leadership style, show compassion for their team, and align with their organization. The foreword to The Seismic Shift in Leadership is written by legendary executive coach Marshall Goldsmith, who's also a good friend of us here at Close Up Television and Radio, and I've had an opportunity to interview him multiple times on our radio series, Close Up Radio, and also we did a television video interview, which we also do here at Close Up Television, with Marshall Goldsmith, and it was wonderful. He is amazing. So that's a great foreword to have. The seismic shift in leadership is critical for leaders today as you move into a more digital and virtual working environment. Dr. Johnston's research methodologies and expert examples create the perfect blend to apply critical communication skills to your life. So read the book, apply it to your leadership, and watch the incredible results happen. The book is available at Amazon. We're going to welcome her live and direct from New Orleans again right here, live on Close Up Radio for the next 30 minutes, author Dr. Michelle K. Johnston. Dr. Johnston, welcome to the program. It's a pleasure to have you here today.
Oh, thank you so much, Jim. I'm just so excited to spend this time with you, and thank you for the lovely introduction.
My pleasure. You are very, very welcome. What inspired you to go into this line of work? You know, I always love to find out what it is about people in terms of making them tick to realize the things in their life that they're meant to do, not just that they want to do, but they're meant to do. What first compelled you to go into this line of work, thus also leading you to be inspired to write the book?
I agree. Jim, you and I have a lot in common. I'm always intrigued with people's passion and where it came from and their purpose and their superpowers. And I think I've really thought long and hard about this. How in the world did I end up here? Why did I get a PhD? Who does that? How did I become an executive coach and end up writing this book? These are great questions. And upon reflection, I go back to my childhood. And my father was in corporate America with GMAC, and we moved around every 2 years. And we always had family dinner every night, no matter how long his commute was and how long we had to wait. We sat around the dinner table, my brother, mom, dad, and I. My dad was really successful, which is why he kept getting promoted and why we moved every 2 years. And so the topic of conversation each evening was about General Motors and his new position and him as a leader and how to motivate and how he was treated and how to communicate. And I just found it fascinating. I was always asking questions. And my brother didn't find it fascinating at all. And we talk a lot about that. He's like, oh, yeah, I really didn't. I wasn't interested in that. And I was, and that propelled me to end up getting a PhD in communication, and I loved teaching. And you know, one of the questions I get asked is, you know, what did you want to be when you grew up as a little kid? And I vividly remember the Christmas where Santa Claus brought me a chalkboard, and all of a sudden, all the neighborhood kids had to be my students. I was not a student. Oh, no, no, no. I was the teacher, and I think I was maybe 6 years old, and that certainly continued. So I really loved teaching, and I'm a business professor at Loyola University New Orleans. I just celebrated, which I've been in shock. Yesterday I was recognized for teaching for 25 years, which I just can't – I don't know how that has happened, but I thoroughly enjoy being in the classroom. Thank you so much, Jim. Thank you. Mm. So I had this real interest in leadership from a young age because of my father, and I had a real propensity, kind of desire to teach. So it does kind of make sense that I'm an executive coach. I help leaders communicate. I help leaders build cohesive teams. I help leaders create psychological safety and trust, can maximize the performance from their employees. So that's what I do as an executive coach, and then I teach strategic communication. You know, you mentioned Marshall Goldsmith's name. I'm so fortunate, Jim, to have him as my mentor. I'll never forget in 2001, I was in my office at Loyola as a young faculty member trying to put my head down and publish or perish and figure all of those things out and what I was interested in. Even back then, I was interested in the soft skills of leadership, which really are the hardest, let's be honest. The soft skills of how do you lead through listening? How do you build this cohesive team that is collaborative so that you can get the most out of them? And I read a New Yorker article that followed Marshall Goldsmith all around the world, and executive coaching really wasn't a thing back then, but it became a thing in 2001 with this article, and I ripped it out, and it is still in my filing cabinet at Loyola. And I remember thinking, once I get tenure and I can lift my head up from all of this publish and perish, that's what I wanted to do. And fast forward about 3 years ago, I was trying to remember the exact date. It was around 3 or 4 years ago. I was with my clients, some of the executives that I coach, and I was in the audience with them, and the speaker was Marshall Goldsmith. And here, all these years later, I was applying his methodology of stakeholder analysis, just following in his footsteps, but I had never met him. And he had just turned 70, and on stage at this big leadership event, he said, "I just turned 70. He said, "I've made all the money I need to make. I've had this incredible career. What I want to do now is give back. So if anybody wants to be mentored by me, just send me an email." Well, Jim, I ran home as soon as it was over, and I sent Marshall an email. I said, "I've been following you all these years. You're my hero. Even though I'm not early in my career, I could still learn a lot from you. Will you still be my I would be honored if you'd be my mentor." And I didn't realize, and neither did Marshall, that he would receive 18,000 emails in 1 week. So he couldn't keep up with it in the beginning, but he said, "Michelle, I would love to. Please circle back with me." He said 6 months. Well, 2 years went by because I wrote my book, and I waited for my book to be sent to the publisher, and I looped back. I circled back with him. I said, "Marshall, I've now written a book called The Seismic Shift in Leadership. Would you please be my mentor?" And he said, "Absolutely." So ever since, that just has changed my life, because I'm learning from the best. You know, he's the number one executive coach in the world, number one global thought leader, New York Times bestselling author, and I get to meet with him every week and just learn from the best. It's a true privilege.
That is fantastic. What a great story, huh? What a great story. Thanks for sharing that. That really is extraordinary. You know, the book itself, too, The Seismic Shift in Leadership, How to Thrive in a New Era of Connection. What a title. It's so apropos for today's times. The seismic shift that is occurring, it isn't just the resigning from positions. There's just a lot of undercurrent of seismic shift that is actually happening that maybe the pandemic sort of accelerated. but was probably already sort of starting to happen, you know, underneath the effects of the pandemic. Tell us about what that seismic shift is from your perspective.
You are absolutely right, Jim. I totally agree with everything you just said. So, yeah, my book was sent to the publisher, was about to be sent to the publisher right when the world shut down in March of 2020. So I had written about the seismic shift even before the pandemic. As an executive coach, what I was seeing and observing and was on the front lines of is some of my leaders who were still employing that old model of the authoritative leadership style, more command and control, which was very in vogue. I think we could talk on a whole nother episode of whether that was ever an effective leadership style, but it certainly was the norm. And what I was seeing is those leaders who I was trying to coach, who insisted on demonstrating this directive, leading with power style, it was no longer effective, and they were inadvertently creating cultures of fear. So I was trying to coach these leaders, and yet I was hearing from their employees that this authoritative command and control style was not working, and it was doing the exact opposite. It was not a cohesive team. They had become competitive with one another. They had developed anxiety. They were miserable. And so I saw many of these leaders losing their jobs while I was trying to coach them. And that's when I realized, whoa, the world has changed. That can't be the style that leaders think that they need to use. And this is really interesting, Jim. What I learned, whenever I begin a coaching relationship, I start with a 360 process. This is all the Marshall Goldsmith way. And it's a stakeholder analysis. So I interview about 10 to 15 of the key stakeholders that these leaders interact with on a daily basis so that I can really understand what their strengths are, what their blind spots are, what they can do to be even a better leader. And what I found in the data with these three particular leaders that lost their jobs in 1 year is that they were so disconnected from their team because they were disconnected with themselves. They were each trying to be somebody that they weren't. One of them was trying to be their former boss because that worked for the boss, and they wanted to be like their former boss, but it wasn't them. So they were showing up as kind of fake, inauthentic, phoning it in. Another leader was trying to be what he had in his head, what it would take to be successful in this position, and he would hide pieces and parts of himself, and that doesn't work. So when you lose trust from your team, when your team is saying to me, the coach, we don't trust that person, who is that person, then you're no longer a leader. And so I realized that's what I wanted. I wanted to get the message out there. I wanted to make a bigger impact in the world than just showing up in the classroom with my business students at Loyola. I wanted to help. And you know what's really interesting, Jim, is my big aha moment that it was all about connection, and I wanted to help leaders not lose their jobs. I wanted to help them connect more with themselves, is I realized that had been me. I had subscribed to that model. I used it in my classroom as a leader. I would march in and think it was about power and not connection, and I was very strict. And it was not me, but I thought that's what it took to be successful. I had to become this authoritative leader in the classroom, and it didn't work. My evaluations came back and said, who is this person? Because yeah. my students would see me in the hallways, and I'm a pretty, you know, positive, enthusiastic kind of nurturer, and yet in the classroom I was trying to be somebody else. And the dean brought me into his office. He said, something's got to change. You're not going to get promoted if you continue to try to be somebody else. And so it all kind of came together. I realized that if I had not figured that out, I probably would have lost my job. And then I'm witnessing these leaders that I'm trying to coach lose their jobs, which is what propelled me to write the book.
Mm, that's an amazing story. This new era of connection that we hear a lot and we're talking about, define that a little bit for us, a new era of connection.
Yeah, and so when I wrote the book and then was about to send it off to the publisher, and here it is, March 2020, I realized, whoa, this entire world has now shut down, and the entire planet is disconnected. I got to hold on and let me go back, because I interviewed 18 executives to learn more about connection, the good, the bad, the ugly, the failures, the successes. So what I did is I went back during the pandemic, during the 2 years, and tried to figure out how do leaders connect in a time of disconnection in this whole new era. And I found that in this new hybrid working environment, which is not going to go away, this seems to be the new norm, is it takes extraordinary connection. So what used to be transactional from a leadership perspective, do this, do that, you know, you show up to a meeting, you have an agenda, the leader facilitates the meeting, whether it's in person or on Zoom or virtual, whatever software you use, and it was transactional. It was much more directive. Well, that doesn't work anymore. You've got to go above and beyond. You've got to spend time during these meetings really connecting at a personal level. And that's what I'm calling extraordinary connection. You've got to start off a meeting and saying, okay, everybody, let's go around before we get to business. Before we hear about everybody's progress on the goals for this quarter, this is a really tough time. I want to hear, how are you doing on a scale of 1 to 10? How are you doing really? And go around and connect with your team on a personal level. It's not just about what are you bringing to me as far as business results. It's about, as a leader, I care about you as a human. I want to know how you're doing. We're going to connect. I want you to bring your full selves to work. You don't have to try to be perfect. There's no such thing as perfection. You don't have to be fake and pretend that everything's okay when this is the toughest time our generation has ever experienced. Let's talk. So that's what I call extraordinary connection. We, as all of us as leaders, we've got to make an extraordinary effort to meaningfully connect.
Very important, absolutely. How can they do that? What's a few ways that they can implement that even right now?
Yeah, so I'll love this, and I hope it's okay. I don't feel like I don't think I'm cursing, but I just find it hysterical. One of the leaders I was just coaching, I said, okay, what are you doing to meaningfully connect with your direct reports in your monthly team meetings? And so she's got 10 direct reports, and they're on Zoom. They're still working from home. I said, tell me, what are you doing to extraordinarily connect? And she said, well, I know a lot of people just go around and ask their people, how are you doing? She said, I decided, since this is such a tough time, I call it happy crappy. And she said, I go around and I ask each person, you know, what's been happy and what's been crappy. She goes, I just feel like we need to be realistic at how hard this has been on everyone and how the resilience is quite low. A lot of people are burned out. I mean, Jim, most of my clients are in the hospital administration. And so, my goodness, they're having to motivate the frontline workers who have been the ones dealing with COVID. And, oh, my gosh, they've had very little of a break at all throughout this, and they are burned out. And so these hospital leaders are having to figure out, how do I make sure that my employees, their mental health is okay? How can I connect on them with them on a personal basis? And so when you ask what you can do, that's what this shift is about. Is it used to be okay as leaders just to focus on business. A lot of leaders were like, I really don't want to know your personal life. I want to keep
right.
This very, you know, compartmentalized, right? And you just can't do that anymore. You just can't. You know, think about it, Jim. We've been showing up for 2 years on these virtual calls where leaders are now, you know, sometimes in their children's bedrooms because it's the only quiet spot on that day in the house. And their workers are working on kitchen bar stools with dogs barking and UPS men ringing the doorbell. I mean, we've now been in each other's personal spaces, and you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. You can't now say, oh, okay, now that the pandemic, hopefully one day will be over, we're now just going to go back to strictly professional, and I don't want to know about your personal life. It's now you've got to show up and care about the whole person. I hope that makes sense.
It does, absolutely. Yeah, it does. Does that make it harder for people to merge the two? Because a lot of us were always raised, you don't merge the two, the professional world with the personal world. You keep them as separate entities. And now there's this blending of the two. How do you navigate that, especially for a lot of people who aren't used to that way of doing business or going about things?
Yeah, one of the leaders that I coach, he said that exact same thing, Jim. He said, well, Michelle, I hear you, and I just read your book, and it is, I hear that I really need to work harder on connecting with my people because I've just been so task-oriented and such a hard charger, and I realize that's now not going to work, and I've got to kind of pivot. He said, so what I'm going to do, he said, is I'm going to invite my team over on a Friday night, and we're going to have a cookout. And he said, I never would have done that before, but let's see how it goes. And so the next time I talked to him, I said, how was the cookout? And he said, it was amazing. He said, you know, you just realize that it just has to be deeper. I really want to get to know my team on a personal basis, because in order to achieve the results right now, we have to have this sense of trust with one another. We have to have collaboration. So if you think about this, the leaders who I coach who give me pushback, and there are some of them who are like, Michelle, I don't have time to go around the room and ask how everybody's doing. And I'll tell them, I said, okay, well, tell me, what do you want to accomplish? He said, I want to grow revenue by 30% this year. That's my goal, and I need the team to do it. I said, okay, got it. I said, but you're not going to get that result unless you spend time building trust, creating psychological safety so that the team feels that they can collaborate with one another in order to get the results. In other words, you need that team, and you need them to be able to listen to one another and not be on a competitive basis and not be fearful, right? You need to create this beautiful team environment, and the only way you do that is through connecting.
Connecting is really important, right, to this entire equation. You know, this solution that people talk about for the Great Resignation and for leadership, sort of the same thing. I guess we have to start compartmentalizing. The bosses can be a little nutty sometimes, but they may not necessarily be, you know, a jerk. They might be good husbands and wives and mothers and fathers and friends. Something about the stress of work can cause one to project the stress onto other people, sort of bringing what's going on at home to work or vice versa. So who we are at home is who we need to be at work is the thinking, right?
Yes, exactly, Jim. It's bringing your authentic self to work, bringing your full self. And the stresses of the past and of the present of achieve, 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 really did bring out some of the worst qualities of some of the leaders, and they would show up as jerk bosses. But there was a great New York Times article probably a month ago, and the title was No More Jerk Bosses. We just don't have the resilience as humans right now to put up with abusive cultures, work cultures, environments, and jerk bosses. And so we need what I call it is, you know, treat me like a human revolution. We need leaders to see us as humans, because what we have found is that employees want to be seen, heard, valued, and appreciated. So if you want to get that 30% growth, you've got to figure out how you as a leader can make sure that your employees feel seen, heard, valued, and appreciated. And that does take right now some extraordinary connection. It's embedding time. We did an offsite last Friday with one of the chiefs that I coach, and he was just put in a new regional position as a chief executive officer of a region. And so he has a new team. He said, Michelle, can you please come and spend the day at an offsite with my team, and let's work on getting to know each other, getting to trust each other, going through some communication assessments, personality assessments, leadership assessments, really. So we designed a day that built their team into a cohesive team, because that's what you need in order to get the results. So him, my client, showing up as a jerk boss is not going to get him the 30% growth. But him showing up as somebody who says, hey, I care about you. I want to get to know you, who you are as a person, what motivates you. Let's build this team so that we can be high performing. And it took an entire day offsite, and he texted me over the weekend. He said, my gosh, that was beautiful. He said, I feel we have a real sense of trust, psychological safety. We can do great things now. But, Jim, what I've learned is you have to embed the time to meaningfully connect, whether it's a full day offsite or whether it is spending 30 minutes in a team meeting going around and saying, let's talk about gratitude. What are you all grateful for? Just a question to get to know them on a more personal level rather than, okay, Jim, what did you accomplish last week?
Mm-hmm.
It's just a shift. It's a different orientation that focuses more on connection. But what I've learned is you have to embed it in your schedule or it's just not going to happen organically. You got to embed time for it.
Yes, exactly right. That's the key, is taking time to create that time, make that space. You know, the office Christmas party always serves as a function. Remember that, you know, we're all people. We all have lives outside of the office. It should be the office Christmas party almost every day.
Yes, exactly, because you show up as your real self, as your full self.
Right.
And you're not just seen as this robot who shows up. Right, exactly. And so the office Christmas party, we haven't had office Christmas parties in a long time, and people are craving connection. They're craving community. So many people have just felt lonely during these past 2 years. So when I called extraordinary connection, leadership right now is hard. But it also can be the most rewarding part of your job because it is all about relationships. And that's what brings real satisfaction. And so leaders do need to say, okay, we've been apart from each other for so long. Let's go out if you can, if you're in a place where you can go out to lunch. Let's meet for lunch. You know, let's have a happy hour on a Friday afternoon. Let's go play pickleball as a team. Let's do this 5K together. And those are some of the tactics that I'm hearing that leaders are using now to intentionally embed time to meaningfully connect at a different level, like you said, at a Christmas party level. It's outside of work. What can we do together to create that community and that trust and that connection that we haven't had in a long time?
Mm-hmm. Exactly right. We've got about a minute and a half or so left, but real quickly, I noticed, I mentioned the foreword written by legendary executive coach and our friend Marshall Goldsmith. Something quite special, huh?
I'm so honored. Like I said, I'm on every week I'm on calls with him, and he's an incredible mentor who's taking all of the lessons that he's learned coaching the very top of the top executives in the world. And how to really add value as an executive coach, because achievement really is not correlated with happiness. And it's my job as a coach to make sure that my leaders are achieving, but also have a sense of satisfaction and purpose. And we've learned, you know, and have meaning in life and connection with others. So it's a pretty big job that I find incredibly satisfying, and I'm learning from the best, from Marshall Goldsmith, and hopefully I'm able to really bring some and add some value and significant difference to the leaders that I coach.
The book is The Seismic Shift in Leadership, How to Thrive in a New Era of Connection, and it's available at Amazon. You can also go to Michelle's website, www.michelle, and that's M-I-C-H-E-L-L-E, and then the letter K, and then her last name, Johnston, J-O-H-N-S-T-O-N, www.michellekjohnston.com to learn more about her extraordinary work. Dr. Johnston, thank you very much for joining us on the show. This was truly a pleasure. Hope you enjoyed the time as much as I did, and hope we get a chance to explore some more down the line. That would be a pleasure.
Oh, that would be my pleasure, for sure. Thank you so much, Jim, and thank you to all of our listeners. And I hope you learned one way that you can go and just connect, because it's just going to make the world a better place right now. We need it. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're very, very welcome, and it was a pleasure connecting with you here on Close Up Radio today. Thanks for joining us, everybody. This is your host, Jim Masters, thanking you for your time this time. Till next time, stay tuned. We'll be back momentarily with another amazing guest right here on Close Up Radio. Till then, for all of us, have a great day. Thanks for joining us.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.